Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. Such men will be punished most severely. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Let us pray. God, our Father, you have given yourself to us in your Son, who made an offering of himself for our salvation. We're here again today to offer you ourselves, our whole selves. And as part of that, we want to offer you our attention now. We want to offer you our open hearts and minds as you speak to us, so that more of Christ, your Son, will be in more of us. We pray in his name, amen. This morning we come to our final sermon in this October series on the theme of generosity, especially as it relates to our stewardship of money and possessions. So far, we've seen that generosity is an act of worship. It's a way of acknowledging God's sovereignty in the world and in our lives, a way of expressing our heartfelt devotion to him. That's part of what generosity is. Secondly, we've seen that generosity is an expression of faith, a way of living in dependence on God, trusting in God to love us and sustain us and provide for us. Thirdly, we've seen that generosity is a channel for the flow of God's grace into the lives of others, into the life of the world. By our own financial giving, it's one of the ways that we participate in God's giving to the world, and his giving is manifest most of all in Jesus Christ. Then fourthly, we've seen that we can grow in generosity through the practice of regular, disciplined, percentage giving, particularly in the form of tithing. Tithing is a traditional guideline. It's a time-tested standard that millions of believers, disciples of Jesus across the centuries, and millions of folks today still observe and practice in their giving. So this morning we bring our generosity emphasis to a conclusion by coming back to the house of worship, where we meet someone who really puts all of our giving, I think, in perspective. Her giving, I think, and her gift that we meet in this morning's scripture passage sort of makes tithing look like a minor inconvenience, just a drop in the bucket. Now, don't get me wrong, she believes in percentage giving, but not 10%, not 20%, not 30%, 100%, as Jesus says in our scripture passage today. She, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. It's not going to be long until we hear the bells ringing for those Salvation Army kettles. And a couple of years ago, there was an interesting contribution that showed up in one of those kettles in Boston's North Station. A widow put in her diamond engagement ring and her wedding band as a contribution. I like the way that one of the commanders put it. "In addition to money, I've seen watch batteries, paper clips, safety pins, all sorts of strange things, but this one takes the cake. Now, the diamond ring itself was valued at about $1,850, and when she made the donation, she also dropped in a note that read, "I've dropped my wedding ring in your red kettle, knowing that the money from its sale will buy toys for needy children." And then she went on to say, "In all seasons, my husband was a giver. I especially remember his joy in giving at Christmas time, especially to those in need. To honor his memory, I donate this ring." And it actually sold a few days later for $21,000, more than 11 times its appraised value. As to what was motivating her, there may have been a clue in the way that she wrapped up her note when she wrote, "To find out what a man is worth, take away his money and possessions." To find out what a person is worth, take away their money and their possessions. Now, when it comes to possessions, the widow in today's text has really next to nothing. She's got two coins. They're the smallest in circulation, and as we hear in our scripture passage today, they add up to less than a penny. This isn't, therefore, the kind of offering that most people will notice. But then again, she isn't the kind of person that most people will notice either. She's one of society's invisible people. No one really pays much attention to her anymore, especially now that her husband is dead. He was the source. He was the source of her name. He was the source of her livelihood. He was the source of her place in the community. Now she no longer has any other family members to help provide for her in some way. She has no safety net, no social safety net like many of us would be accustomed to nowadays. The best she can hope for is maybe become sort of part of the permanent underclass, surviving day by day, day by day, as one of society's sort of invisible oppressed people in the crowd of all the other oppressed. But Jesus has spotted her. And Mark says, calling his disciples to him, which is sort of Mark's way of saying, church, gather around. There's someone you need to see, somebody you need to watch. And the best way to see her is not only to look at her, but really to look at all the other folks around her. Now, I know that the offering portion of the service is generally a more anonymous, subdued time where you really don't spend much time staring at the offering that your friend or family member or whoever else there in the pew beside you is putting into the plate. But the truth is, you can tell a lot about a person by the kind of offering they make. On the one hand, says Jesus, there are those with large bank accounts and lots of resources, plenty of notoriety as well. They sort of scrupulously calculate their tithe, he says, and they show up at church dressed to impress. In fact, he says, don't be surprised if some of your own religious leaders and authorities, like the scribes, like to associate with them and hang out with them and spend time with them, because you know how your own high-ranking clergy enjoy public recognition and getting good seats at important social occasions. You know, says Jesus. So on the one hand, there are those givers, but on the other hand, says Jesus, there are those givers who don't ever get an invitation to those kinds of social occasions. They don't have the money or the influence to gain a seat at the table. In fact, most days, they struggle just to put food on their own tables. So keep that in mind, and as you do, remember that one of them is right over there, getting ready to drop her two copper coins in the church's treasury. She's the one, says Jesus. She's the one that you need to keep your eyes on. Watch her. Look at her. Now, in one respect, I think Jesus wants us to see the scale and the scope of the widow's gift. But he wants us to see other things in this whole scene as well. I think he wants us to see and reflect on the economic practices and the institutions that have created such enormous disparities between the haves and the have-nots. How is it that when the offering plate is passed, he says, some people pull out wads of cash, and this lady barely has two coins to pull out? How is that? Why does that happen? How does that come about? Earlier in our text, Jesus sort of answered some of that question. You may remember when I read it earlier, when he condemns leaders, including the religious leaders who were perpetuating and participating in the kinds of practices and conditions that led to this widow's destitute situation. They devour widows' houses, he says. They devour widows' houses, and for a show they make long-winded prayers. According to the law of Moses, spiritual leaders were supposed to be a voice for justice, watching out for and keeping alert to the interests of the poor, the orphans, and the widows. Instead, says Jesus, they've been foreclosing on the property of the widows and consuming all that they have left. And now one of those widows shows up at the Lord's house with her two coins. She's there dutifully ready to give her last cent, it turns out. Ready to give her last cent to a corrupt institution that's actually ended up doing more to hurt her than to help her. So there she is. One time during some visitation at a nursing home, I was with a lady that I'd visited with regularly, and most of our conversation so far had covered a lot of our regular topics. How are things going in each of our families? What's in the news lately? How are things going at church? These kinds of topics. And suddenly in the midst of our conversation, she interrupted and said, "Oh, hold on just a minute. Before I forget, I don't want to forget, I need to pay him." And I spoke from, "Pay him? Who's him?" It turns out that she wanted to make an offering to God and have me deliver it back to the church to go into the collection. I think it was sort of an awkward moment. I didn't want to discourage her contribution and her desire to give, but I didn't want her to think that she was pressed in any way to have to make some kind of contribution, especially under her own circumstances and condition. And what made the situation even more awkward was that there was a gentleman sitting beside the bed of her roommate who was visiting his loved one as well. I never turned around to see, but I assumed that he overheard our conversation and maybe witnessed part of what was going on. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, to an outsider, this might look pretty bad. Maybe he thinks, if he's actually watching or listening, maybe he thinks that I'm just a greedy preacher, a modern-day scribe, spending a few minutes here with this widow of modest means, struggling with multiple health problems, only to walk out a few minutes later with a portion of her livelihood to go into the church's treasury. Or maybe he wasn't paying attention or noticing much of it. Maybe I was just worrying about nothing. Maybe he didn't even notice any of it. Or if he did, maybe he noticed more of her eagerness to give than my own reluctance to receive what she had to give and to offer. Perhaps he saw someone who, in the midst of her own difficult circumstances and struggles, was eager to give generously and sacrificially, because many times the most exemplary gifts, the most generous gifts, the most sacrificial gifts come from the folks with the most modest means. And statistics show us that those generally who have less end up really giving more to the work of God through the church and in other ways than those who have more. When we actually look at the numbers, Jesus says they all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on, As preacher Barbara Brown Taylor says of today's text, Jesus, quote, simply points out that the major characters are minor givers, while the minor character, the poor widow, turns out to be the major donor of them all. So this morning, as you and I sit with Jesus and observe the morning offering there in the Lord's house, he wants us to see lots of things, many different things going on there. He wants us to see the unrighteous contrast that characterize life in this world. He wants us to see the unjust disparities between abundance and poverty, between those who have too much and those who have too little. He wants us to see this. He wants us to see not only, I think, the poor widow, but the way he talks in the text, the kinds of social conditions and the way that political leaders and even religious leaders and religious institutions can sometimes participate in and contribute to conditions like this poor woman lives in. He wants us to see all those kinds of things. He wants us to see how those who are called to serve God in the world and to represent God's people in the world can often get so caught up themselves and ourselves in greed, wealth, ostentation, he says, that we end up just sort of contradicting the will and purpose of God rather than promoting the will and purpose of God in the world. So I think Jesus wants us this morning to zoom out to the big picture and see all those kinds of things that are going on in this scene and everybody who's there. But I think he especially wants us to zoom in and see the poor widow herself. And in seeing the poor widow herself, to really see Jesus himself. Remember where we're at right now in Mark's gospel. Mark uses this story as a way to start to bring the public ministry of Jesus to a close. In a few days, Jesus will be crucified. His own end is near. Remember where we're at in the story. So perhaps what Jesus sees in the widow's offering is an anticipation of his own offering that he's about to make of himself for the salvation of the world, of you and me. I like the way that Barbara Taylor puts it when she says, if you ask me, that's why he noticed the poor widow in the first place. She reminded him of someone. It was the end for her. It was the end for him too. She gave her living to a corrupt church. He was about to give his life for a corrupt world. She withheld nothing from God, neither did he. It took one to know one. When he looked at her, it was like looking in a mirror at a reflection so clear that he called his disciples over to see. Look, he said to those who meant to follow him, that's what I've been talking about. Look at her. That's what I've been talking about when it comes to really following me. As followers of Jesus, professing faith in him as Lord and Savior in our lives, we need to look at, focus in on, zoom in on the poor widow in this scene. Some of you may have seen her and met her many times before. Some of you may be sort of meeting her for the first time in our scripture passage today. In either case, don't let her out of your sight. And don't get distracted by all the other folks in the scene as well, and all of their impressiveness, or their wealth, or their social connections, or their power. Don't let that distract you from your main focus on her and what she's doing. Don't lose sight of her, because if you lose sight of her, you'll miss one of the best stewardship sermons ever preached. I've been standing up here for 5 Sundays proclaiming the word of God about generosity. But here in our scripture passage today, the poor widow, in the span of just 5 verses. I've been up here 5 Sundays. She only takes 5 verses to preach one of the greatest messages on money ever proclaimed without a single word. I think her sacrificial offering foreshadows the gift of Christ himself, who Paul says, though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. Isn't it true that one way or another, the journey into greater giving and deeper growing generosity always leads back to the cross in one way or another? That's where we see Christ's own self-offering for the world. And his own offering takes shape, too, in the lives of we who profess to follow him, as we in our own lives give ourselves away in his name. Give ourselves away, our hearts, our time, our energy, our strength, our gifts, our money, as we give ourselves away in his name. Giving our whole selves, your whole self, given completely and generously and sacrificially to Christ. Let's pray. Generous, giving, good God, we thank you for your Son Jesus, who made an offering of himself for our salvation. As we continue to follow him, show us day in and day out how to give ourselves away, to give our lives away for him and the gospel and your kingdom. We thank you for examples of generosity that we see around us in our own lives, and especially the example of generous sacrificial giving that we see in the widow in today's text. Keep our eyes open to the disparities and injustices here in our own world and the ways that we may actually be contributing to them more than we realize. Give us repentant hearts and different ways of living. Keep us focused on the poor widow and what she has offered to help inspire us and motivate us and strengthen us as we give ourselves away for the sake of Christ. We pray now in his name. Amen.